Hello, and welcome to our CMD Bite Size series, where we explore a range of ministry and theological issues. I'm Rebecca Evans, Ministry and Development and Inclusion Officer for Truro Diocese, and in this episode, I'll be talking to Grant Forrest, Chief Executive Officer of the Parish Giving Scheme, about living life generously. Hi, Grant, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. It's great to be able to speak to you. So, just to set the scene, you took up the role of CEO at PGS in 2021. Can you tell us a bit about who you are outside of PGS, what you like doing in your spare time, that sort of thing?
Hi, Rebecca. It's great to be here. PGS has been in my life for 3 years now. And beyond that, foremost, I am a husband to my wife, Maria, and we have two children. And the exciting news is, as we record, my wife is 39 weeks pregnant. So, baby number three can appear any time now, which could be quite exciting for this podcast. But outside of family, we have a puppy as well, who's just joined our family, who's 4 months old, a cocker spaniel. So our house is quite full and full of life. And to add to that, I've just completed 2 years of being a trustee for the Council for Voluntary Services for the Derbyshire Dales. I am the chair of the preschool committee, the board of trustees for the local preschool. I'm a steward and a trustee at our local church. And occasionally I try and play badminton. And importantly, we have adventures as a family and our friends. And we'll go off camping or go for walks in the Derbyshire Dales or go and do some fun things as a family. And yeah, we'll have lots of fun.
Excellent. It sounds like you're very busy and very packed lifestyle. And it'd be exciting to hear about number three arriving very shortly. Hopefully not in the middle of this podcast, but there we go.
Yes, in good time, hopefully.
Yeah. So you took up the post of CEO of PGS in 2021. Can you tell me a bit about what PGS does and what inspired you to want to work there?
Super. So PGS is about advancing regular giving in every church. We provide a mechanism that makes it really easy for people who want to give to their church to give. And we use the technology of direct debits to make that a really simple and safe process for givers. They remain in full control of their giving, and we allow them to do things like inflationary increase. So a giver can choose to opt into annually increasing their giving in line with inflation. So it means that their money that they are giving remains at the value that they are giving, rather than reducing the value as inflation keeps increasing year on year. We also offer one-off giving using your bank card, and we're also offering contactless giving with a partner. So it basically, we move money from the giver to the church on a monthly process, and we go and do the gift aid claim too. So it makes it really, really simple for the churches and for the givers involved. And just to put into context where PGS fits within that, within the Church of England, we serve about 5,000 Anglican churches across the country, and we process about £8 million each month on behalf of those churches. So that's what PGS does in a nutshell. But for me, what excites me about it is that it's all about the kingdom. It's all about living out our faith as Christians to be able to give to our church. And I personally believe in the need for churches to remain visible parts of our communities. And that requires money. So, we've got to find ways of putting money into the churches for the churches to be able to keep doing what they do and then to keep growing and keep serving their communities. So for me, coming into PGS, it's an intersection of my as a technologist at heart. So I did computer science at university. I've worked in software. And then to bring that into my faith and into my response as a disciple to see the kingdom grow, to really kind of start living that out in a way which is very specific around giving, around technology, and around the church. So that's what excites me about PGS. It's about that, for me, being able to use my faith, use my skills, and see the church grow.
Brilliant. And so it's clearly that you're kind of living out your faith at work in the context that you're doing, that you're working, you're using the skills that you have in a way that you can further the kingdom. Is there anything that's kind of surprised you about that journey at PGS?
Oh, that's a good one. What surprised me at PGS? I think it's really interesting to see over the last couple of years the inflationary increase statistics, and say if we go back a couple of years when we had the start of the energy crisis and the cost of living crisis, what's really blown me away is how many people have continued to increase their giving year on year. So even when inflation went through the roof into 10%, and we were writing out to these givers to say, inflation is 10%, but we'd still like you to consider how you could increase your giving in line with inflation. The majority of people still did that. They still increased their giving. And for me, that's a testament to their faith. That's them going, yes, I believe in this thing of the church. I believe in giving to the church. I believe in maintaining the value of my gift. And so to see that come through, that was actually quite a really nice surprise, you know, that we were able to help churches in that way. But for actually, it comes back down to the people receiving that notification to say, can you increase your giving? And they did. And I think that blows me away every time I see that statistic.
That's phenomenal, isn't it? And also just to kind of emphasise, I'm guessing there's a range of donors. It's not just very wealthy people that are giving that perhaps are less impacted by the cost of living crisis, but you've got people giving very different amounts each month.
Exactly. So at PGS, we have a mantra that irrespective of how much you give, you get the same level of support and care from us. So the smallest gift is £1 a month. And the largest gift is a very large four-figure number. So, you know, we serve all givers in their own journey of giving, and giving is a very personal thing. So it's very much about supporting them in that way. And our communications are tailored to that as well, so that it's not an assumption that everyone can afford that increase. But we want to make it possible for those that can and who want to, that they can do that. And for those that can't, for whatever reason, that they are still in control of their giving. And that's a really important message to hear.
Absolutely. And it just seems such an effective process for so many churches to be involved with. Because if you can imagine the number of churches, did you say 5,000 churches signed up across the UK? And actually, in that cost of living crisis, how many of those would have felt comfortable doing that level of communication within their communities? So, in fact, during that time, it must have had a phenomenal impact across the Church of England.
Yeah, it's a huge impact. And it's very hard to quantify that. But, you know, we're talking on a scale of millions over the years from that inflationary increase. So it's a massive impact to the church, and something that is really important that we kind of monitor it, and we make sure that we get those communications right. But it's also a way in which PGS can sit in that gap between church and giver in a really unique way, so that we don't get in the way of the giver and the church relationship. But we can support it, as you say, as a kind of a separate outside voice within that, to be able to have that conversation.
Yeah, so living a generous life is an important hallmark of being a Christian, and certainly one that you live out in your everyday life. And I guess it's important actually for a lot of other religions too. How do you see PGS being an instrument of enabling this in churches across the country, but more than just being simply a mechanism of enabling people to give? How do you see it helping people to live out generosity in their everyday lives?
Generosity is a really important thing. And so I do a lot of reading, and I was really surprised to come across a quote. And I can't remember which book it was in, but the quote was, "Never stifle a generous impulse." And the person who penned those words was Bill Hewlett, as in the Hewlett from Hewlett-Packard.
Okay.
And so, never stifle a generous impulse. I think it's something that, for me, really kind of exemplifies how we live as Christians, and that generosity. A generous impulse can be anything from seeing someone on the street maybe they are a musician, and just standing and listening to them as they busk. That's a generous impulse. Taking a minute to in your day to give an encouragement to someone. That's a generous impulse. It's not always financial. And so how do we, you know, how does that live out through my faith, and how do we do that as PGS as a mechanism? I think there's as many ways that we can do that, and the key thing is that PGS is a really easy to use, simple solution. When churches talk about generosity, they have a way of being able to respond to that generosity. And PGS can help in that way, because it's really easy to pick up your device or pick up a paper form or pick up the phone and get in touch with PGS and set up your gift. So it's about that response. How do we respond in that impulse of generosity or in that urge of generosity as we are encouraged from wherever that might come from, whether it's the pulpit or whether it's from a podcast. It's that kind of sense of being able to bring alive your generosity through a giving solution, which allows you to stay in control, but also encourages you to maintain the value of that gift, and then to be able to keep giving as long as possible.
And so I love that quote, never stifle a generous impulse, because actually I'm sure that's very easy for us to do, particularly in terms of time. So just thinking about the flip side of that, can you speak a bit into what you think stops people from being generous?
Yeah, I think there's all sorts of things that might stop us from being generous. I just got to think of myself. You know, I might look at my bank account balance and I might think, oh, I can't be generous today. I might be in a rush for a train and think I can't be generous with the person asking for directions. So there's lots of different ways that everyday life can get in the way of our generosity. And so let's flip that back round. And what does generosity actually look like? And generosity for me is about a mindset of how we approach life. So it's more than just money. So, you know, PGS is very much a money mechanism. And we know that and we own that. That's a small piece of generosity. It's just the financial generosity. And as I already mentioned, I was on a tube platform just the other week in London. And I was rushing to get my train and waiting for this tube to come. I'm watching my clock on my watch, you know, working out, you know, will I still make the train? Will I still make it home? And someone comes along and says, I'm trying to get to Paddington Station. And because obviously I look like someone who knows the tube map like the back of my hand, I kind of was confronted. The tube then arrived and there's this person waiting for an answer. How do you respond to that? And actually it's a way of being generous where you can respond by going, okay, I've got to let that tube go. I might miss my train. Take a deep breath. It's okay. There's plenty of other trains in the country I can manage. Let's be generous. And I help that person. And part of the reason for actually having that prompt was we have these badges at PGS which say living life generously or live life generously. And I happened to have one in my coat pocket. And that's what I was fiddling with whilst I was waiting for the train in my nervousness for waiting for this train. And it was that prompted me, live life generously. Actually, I can live life generously. Even when I have nothing, I can still be generous.
Thank you. That's a great story. And I think it takes me back to a few years ago, the 40 acts idea of being intentional about generosity and kind of weaving that intentionality into our everyday lives. And somebody had decided to try and do 3 generous acts a day, and in rushing around found that often it was when they were driving that they could do those 3 generous acts, like letting a car out or letting somebody cross the road. But it changed the way they drove because they were always rushing to different places. So I think that's a great story. And fantastic that it was actually that badge that you were fiddling with that triggered you to respond in the way you did. So I just wondered also whether there's a particular time in your life when the generosity of someone has had a significant impact on you, and whether that inspired you to work in the way that you do now.
I've met lots of generous people. Most of those acts of generosity are not financial. Yes, there's been lots of times where someone has filled a financial void in my life, or have supported our family in particular ways. But as you ask that question, I'm kind of thinking about the people that when I was growing up in church, early teens, and they just invested in me and offered something to me. And that might be support with homework or school assignments or coursework. And you know, there's the great thing about churches is that they're filled with so many different people with so many different backgrounds. So you could be sat next to a physicist and you're doing this physics homework and you're trying to get your head around it. And on a Sunday, you can go and ask for help. And people offer their wisdom generously in that way. And I'm very grateful for those people in my life that have done that. They've people who've put me into leadership positions in my early teens and helped me flourish and grow in that way. You know, that makes me who I am today. And I think it's only when you step back and think, actually, how could I fit that into my life now? You know, with all the stuff that's going on, and actually they were in that similar position and they still managed to do that. So it's a generous posture. And then the other person that I think of particularly around generosity, the person who really inspires me the most at the moment is the big issue seller who works down the street from where we live, happens to stand outside Marks and Spencer's on the high street. I see him most weekends. Beautiful man of God, goes to church, and we have many conversations about faith and sharing Bible scriptures and things like that. So he's a real encourager. But there's one particular moment which I think, you know, really kind of helps us understand what does generosity look like. So this is a man who has very little, and there was this time where I was down in town with my son, and I'd forgotten to take the water bottle. That was my mistake. And we're stood outside the shop, and my son is going, "Daddy, I want a drink. I want a drink." And the only option I have is to go into the shop and buy him a drink. And at the time we're having this conversation with Stefan, and my son's going, "Daddy, I want this drink. I want this drink." So, okay, right. It's my fault. I've not brought the water bottle. I offer to Stefan, "Do you want a drink?" And he just immediately turns around to me and says, "I've been given enough for today. Here, have this orange juice. Would this be okay? You know, would you like it?" And it was really kind of startling to receive that generosity from someone who has so little, going, "I've received enough for today." And that just reminds me so much of God's teaching, Jesus' teaching through the scriptures around what does generosity look like and how God provides for us. He provides enough for us today. And for my friend Stefan to go, "I've received enough today. Here, have this." That really inspires me to go, right, okay, God, how can I be more generous today? How can I give more? How can I do more with what I have been given? You've given me enough. How can I give that on to other people?
That's incredibly humbling. And I think also there's that generosity in saying yes, because sometimes it's very easy to say, "Oh, no, it's fine. I'll be fine. I don't need your, I don't need what you're giving me." But actually there's a generosity also in receiving from people.
100%. Yeah. And actually that for me in that story, that was the hardest bit. You know, I've bought Stefan, you know, the big issue from him so many times to help him, you know, work and pay for things like his hostel and stuff, for him to give our family something like that when we know his story. We know he has so little. So that act of receiving that generosity really was like a wow, okay, God, what are you doing here? Because that you're trying to teach me something. And he really did. And it's a real encouragement for me. I take that every day.
That's a lovely story. And I think also sometimes when you were speaking before about those people in church who were generous with their time and their talents and their wisdom with you, is that they perhaps haven't seen the result of that. I mean, maybe you are still in contact with them, but there's so many times when we're called to be generous, but actually not to see the results of that generosity. And we just have to trust and know that that's been used in some way and that the impact has been greater than we've been aware of. And that's sometimes difficult for us to live with, I think, but it's really encouraging to hear people reflect back and say, actually, yes, those people were generous with me. And even though they didn't perhaps know the impact it had, this is how it affected me.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think about the people that I've invested in churches where I'm not connected to those churches anymore because they might be in different places of the country. And yeah, you're right. You know, I will never know the fruits of that work. But we offer it, don't we, in sacrifice and in our discipleship, and hope that those things, those people that we've invested in, they will flourish where they are, where they're planted. And through being generous in those ways, actually we start to see the kingdom of God grow and lead us into new places.
So I guess from all of that you've said, you've just given us so much rich information there and examples of generosity and living a generous lifestyle. But is there one point in particular you'd like listeners to take away from today? What would it be if you had one particular message to them?
I think it's the title of this podcast, Live Life Generously. I think there's a real gift in being able to approach each day and just ask God, okay, God, where are you? Where can I find you? Where can I see you? And how can I be generous? How can I offer something, what you've given me, out to the people around me? And that's not just financial. It's broader. It's bigger than that. It's about everyday living in our faith, going, how can I give what I've received? And if I've been given wisdom, let's go and give some of that wisdom out. If I've been given plentiful of resources, of food, money, then yes, go and give those things. If you've been given time, then go and use that time to be able to give to someone. So yeah, live life generously.
Excellent. And thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for making time. And we look forward to hearing news about baby number 3 arriving safely and you all flourishing as a family.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to join with you today, Rebecca.
If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to listen to more, please do follow and share. Thank you for listening.